We got a lot of stuff coming up. Steve has a great story about the Green Party.
The Green Party.
Go ahead, tell them what that story is about.
So the Green Party made an official call for the U.S. to stop selling arms to Saudi Arabia and to the Middle East in general. We've sold $100 billion worth of arms to Saudi Arabia. And guess what? Some of those arms are falling into the hands of the wrong people.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Shocking. Shocking.
So that story's coming up. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. We're also going to talk about senior citizen who was she's got something. She's got an earful for the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. So we're going to do that. I think this is the right camera. Or is this the camera?
I think that's the wide shot right there. And that's your camera.
This is my camera?
Yeah. It's a new configuration, folks, so bear with us.
Oh, I like it. This camera. Yeah. This camera, I feel like I'm in shadow, but this camera is nice. Also, what's coming up? Let me see what's coming up. I have to check this thing. I have to put my eyeglasses on. We're going to talk about, Jill Stein voters. Are they really white privileged? What exactly is the demographic of a Jill Stein voter? So we're going to take a look at that. I'm going to make that face. And... let's see what else we got. Oh, and by the way, Politico, our favorite reporter at Politico, John Ralston, the dean of Nevada politics, he wrote an article explaining why Hillary is neck and neck with Donald Trump in Nevada. And why is Hillary neck and neck with Trump in Nevada? The answer just may surprise you, or will it?
So this is the problem. So, Jimmy, you and I are both like color commentators. We're not the play-by-play guy. We need a play-by-play guy to kind of intro the stories.
Yeah,
and
we're all right.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll get through it. We'll be all right.
This is okay. People are enjoying. They're enjoying all the personality I'm throwing into the top of the show.
Throw it. Yeah.
Believe me, people are enjoying this. If you're enjoying this, hashtag, what is a hashtag? DYT. What is our hashtag? Do we have a hashtag? Is it aggressive?
I just said we needed a play-by-play guy. Because, first of all, you got the name wrong. We started off with the progressive aggressive.
Or something.
and now we don't know the hashtag.
TYTAP?
A-P.
Okay, so the hashtag, this is me. The hashtag is TYTAP.
Yeah.
Hashtag TYTAP.
What does AP stand for?
Aggressive progressive.
That's right.
I thought it stood for, I thought it stood for Associated Press. Here we go. Hey, by the way, I have a little something I want. Okay, this is my camera. I have a little something, and then we're going to get to some videos of liberals on MSNBC freaking out about what a shitty candidate Hillary Clinton is. That's exciting. Okay, here we go. And we can bleep that swear word so we can put it on YouTube. All right, here we go. All right. Hey, this week saw the results of the Florida race between Tim Canova and disgraced former DNC chair, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It was the professor of law, Canova, who didn't take any corporate money against the incumbent Wasserman Schultz, the establishment-approved candidate with huge super PACs of special interest money. And the people of Florida chose, you guessed it, the ethically challenged corporate-owned politician fucking Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Why did this happen? Well, it's Florida. Cubans, old Jews, drug runners, swamp people, runaways, and serial killers are the people who you're appealing to in Florida. The demographics were not in favor of a progressive in Broward County, where the average age is Paleolithic. These are all good jokes, Steve. Anytime you want to
Sorry, okay.
I'm almost done. When Florida old folks want change, it's from a nurse because they made an oopsie. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
All right. In Broward, Florida, a streetwalker is something an old person pushes to get to the corner. Mm-hmm. Get in a streetwalker.
Yeah. Continue. We're almost done. All right.
Those are the kind of people who are comfortable with Debbie. To South Florida retirees, Debbie Wasserman is like one of the family. She's the daughter who never comes around to see them, but every few weeks she calls to ask for money. And after 4 years of not showing up for anniversaries, she comes around to check and see if she's still in the will. They tell everyone that their Debbie is an important person in Washington. And when their retirement community neighbors ask what happened about her DNC chairmanship, they say, yeah, well, that just didn't work out. Broward County voters sound like they know the issues, like the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Yeah, they think the TPP is when an old man leaves the room. Get it? TPP. WikiLeaks is why Uncle Jaime needs prostate surgery. Get it? They don't know things. So does this mean the progressive movement is defeated because of Tim Canova? Of course not. We're still making huge victories. Let Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Congress be a reminder of everything that we're fighting against. Tim Canova ran a campaign against incredible odds, and Canova has a bright political future ahead of him, fighting for economic and environmental justice. It won't really matter, since Florida's going to be underwater pretty soon anyway. All right, now let's get to the show. I know you hate when I read pre-written stuff, Steve.
Jimmy, you know that I find you very funny. I just have a hard time laughing pre-scripted jokes. You're a funny guy.
I appreciate
you. You don't have to write the stuff out and read it on air. Anyway, it's good stuff, but I actually disagree with you on this.
Oh, what do you disagree with?
I don't think it's a matter of the voters being not open to progressive ideas. I don't think it's a matter of the voters choosing Debbie Wasserman Schultz over Tim Canova. I think the problem there is name recognition. So Wasserman Schultz has they just know her better.
Yeah.
And for people who are not steeped in news and politics on a day-to-day basis like we are, if they vote at all, they're going to vote for the name that they've heard of before. They've heard of Debbie Wasserman Schultz because she has more money, she's an incumbent. Incumbents always have an advantage. So they just voted for her. The problem here is that, look, Bernie didn't do enough for Tim Canova. I know it's not Bernie's responsibility, okay? And maybe he had other priorities. I don't know, okay? He had some kind of game plan. I'm not privy to it. But Bernie should have helped Tim Canova more. Secondly, I think TYT should have helped Tim Canova more. I know Jordan Chariton interviewed him, and we did something for him on TYT interviews. But the main show, I don't want to throw Jenk under the bus because he's not here to defend himself, but the main show didn't cover that. We covered a lot of Trump and a lot more Trump, but we never said a word about Tim Canova, or we barely did. We should have. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, to me, represents everything that's wrong with the DNC, everything that's wrong with this politics as usual. And if someone like Tim Canova, who's actually the opposite, he's a poster child of the progressive movement, if he could take down the establishment, the face of the establishment, that would have been a great resounding victory, and a victory that progressives like us really needed. Because I don't want the message getting out that, oh, progressives can't win. The establishment always wins, right? Because I know Zephyr Teachout won, and some of the other candidates that you mentioned last
JFL.
Week. Yeah, that those guys won. But this one was a much more high-profile case or race.
Right.
So I would have loved to have seen Debbie Wasserman Schultz not only lose, but to get trounced.
Me too.
Okay? And it's disappointing that Bernie, who is, you know, present day, the father of this movement or the leader of this movement, not act more decisively against her. So, again, I don't want to speak for Bernie. I don't know why he did or didn't do more, but it's disappointing that Debbie won and beat Tim Canova.
Yeah, it is. It is, but... I'm trying to make a little lemonade and just realize that, she is a motivating factor in a negative way. You know what I mean? Like, she makes me want to fight. She makes me want to beat those. She makes me want to be more progressive. And she makes me want to take down the establishment. Ugh, so, anyway, she's so corrupt. It's unbelievable. She still doesn't know, literally. She still is like, she's unsure about medical marijuana. Not really sure about it.
But she's sure about the payday loan companies.
She's sure about the payday loan companies, and she's sure about fracking.
Yeah.
But but the science is in on fracking for her, just not marijuana. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing?
So that's the kind of pretend liberals that I want to get rid of. That used to be called a fucking Republican. That's what that used to be. People who are slow to come around to new ideas. People who are slow to come around to science. People who are afraid of progress. People, that's called a conservative. That's what Debbie Wasserman Schultz is. She's a conservative who's okay with abortion. And that's who we got to get rid of, those kind of pretend Democrats. And if it takes having, I say it's time for a third party in America. What, I'm so sick. How long have we been screaming about this? Bernie Sanders, there's a clip of him from 1991 saying exactly what I'm saying now, that we have to stop voting for the lesser of two evils. And the fact that he didn't go down and help Tim Canova, he just endorsed a pro-fracking mayor here in Los Angeles. So I don't know what the hell's going on with Bernie Sanders. But it doesn't stop how I feel. And I'm still going to be an aggressive progressive. And I'll call out Bernie Sanders if I have to call out Bernie Sanders. I don't know. Maybe he's got a reason. Maybe he can explain it. But that is not cool that he didn't help out Tim Canova more than he did.
Yeah, he helped out initially. And I think he helped raise over $1 million. But I would have liked to have seen him do a lot more towards the end of the race when things were... I think Tim Canova lost by like 20 points.
He lost by 13 points. I could be wrong. I think it was 13. But, okay. You know, every high-profile Democrat went down there to campaign for her, right? John Lewis went down.
Yeah, that's right.
So there, she had, I even think Bill Clinton went down. But Barack didn't, but he did endorse her.
Yeah.
Which is hurt. That hurts.
All right, so let's get to our first story.
So here's our first story. So, we're going to talk about, if you remember, Chris Hayes did an interview with Susan Sarandon. And it drove everybody here crazy. It drove me crazy the way he was I thought he was condescending to her. He was dismissive. It was kind of a punch a hippie. And it was like, oh my God, you're not going to vote for Hillary. That's crazy. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just Chris Hayes. It was the entire establishment. It was many, many people that basically said Susan Sarandon is nuts. And what is wrong with her? She, as a woman, should understand the trials and tribulations that Hillary Clinton went through. And how can you not vote for her? And to equate Hillary with Trump is insanity. And they basically dismissed Susan as being a crazy person.
Yes. Yeah, it was... There was a couple of weeks there for sure when she's nuts, she's crazy.
And let's recount why they dismissed Susan Sarandon. Because Susan said that that Hillary Clinton is, she's a neocon, that she's pro-war, and that she has pursued a policy of destabilization and regime change after Henry Kissinger's, longstanding
right.
policy on foreign affairs, and that is... a terrible thing for the world and for the U.S., and that Hillary Clinton takes way too much money from various special interests, and that she's basically a compromised, bought politician. So for these comments, Susan Sarandon was derided as being a crazy person. Crazy Susan, mouthing off again. And yeah, so now what are they saying?
So now, and by the way, I was also, we talked about it on the show with Cenk and the main show, about the people who, anytime you criticize Hillary Clinton, they would call you sexist, or they would say, "Oh, you're Bernie Bros and misogyny." It was all the smearing of real progressives that drove me crazy. Hey, it's okay if you're going to vote out of fear. It's okay that you vote for Hillary Clinton because you're a fraidy cat, or that you're just blind to what's happening to the Democratic Party, or you're just a corporatist by nature, or you're kind of really a neocon anyway, but you're cool with the board. So if you're going to vote for Hillary, that's one thing. Not okay to smear a progressive when he comes along. And that's what I didn't like. And not only did they smear Bernie, but they smear Bernie's supporters, right? Which is the same thing they're doing to Jill Stein right now, okay? So they're really afraid, right? But now that Hillary is for sure the nominee and Bernie has endorsed her, now all of a sudden, those same people who wagged their finger at us and called us misogynists and called us sexist and called us crazy and nuts, now all those people are upset with Hillary, too. I'll show you right now. I'm watching Chris Hayes, and he's got a panel with Joan Walsh, Sam Cedar, and two other people. I don't even know who they are. They're all supposed to be good liberals, and let's just listen to a little bit.
I mean, at one level, right, you know, we're trying to win. You want as many people as possible.
Right.
At another level, there is this move among the most hawkish neoconservative elements of the conservative foreign policy community, the Max Boots, the folks who were...
Robert Kagan.
Now, John Negroponte, whose history in South America is just
atrocious. Enabling the death squads all over Central America.
Literally enabling death squads.
Yeah, he's a horrible person.
How should Clinton supporters, liberals, war skeptics feel about that
I think people should speak out. I mean, the thing that Charlie Pierce, the point he made, is that they send out a statement about it. There are two different things going on here. Anyone, it's a free country. Anyone who
That's
wants
right.
to endorse her is free
right.
to endorse
That's right.
her.
It's a unilateral thing,
right.
You, right? You can't control.
That letter, you know, 50 national security experts, the Times writes about it. It's positive for some people, negative for others. When the campaign chooses to send out a statement, which touts the endorsement of someone like John Negroponte, I think the left is right to scream about it.
Yeah, I mean.
That's amazing. Now it's okay. Now Joan Walsh says it's okay for us to scream about it. Now it's okay for us to scream. Now it's okay.
Yeah,
now it's okay.
She says we should speak out about it.
Now Joan Walsh has decided that it's okay for other liberals to criticize. I was so worried we were never going to get permission. I was so worried that she was going to keep her head so far up her ass that we were never going to be allowed to criticize her. Thank God she yanked her head out of her ass long enough to realize that the person she's endorsing and has been endorsing full-throated is a frickin' warmonger who hangs around with war criminals and brags about it. Let's go and see if there's a little bit more to this.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, right? I mean, she's come from the State Department. There should be people on her staff who say, John Negroponte.
Exactly.
Is this a guy who
That's
there,
right.
is, are there suburban women and that are thinking, I'm not going to vote for
There's
Clinton,
the Negroponte endorsement.
You know, I think you've got to weigh these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, frankly, I mean, the thing that I think there's a danger for Clinton here is that it raises, Clinton did not exactly distinguish herself in the wake of the 2009 Honduras coup either, frankly. And so with a guy like John
right.
Negroponte, it's very hard not to make that type of connection.
Right.
They should get on the ball. This is an unforced error at best for them.
Yeah, and I...
Okay, Sam Cedar is correct, and I do not lump Sam in with the rest of the people sitting there because Sam has been consistent. He has been one of the guys saying, I'm holding my nose. He hasn't been smearing progressives, so... But he's right. He said it's an unforced error, this John Negroponte thing. You know what else is an unforced error? You know what else is an unforced error? Fracking, the Iraq War, Libya, Honduras, Glass-Steagall. You know what else is an unforced error? Picking Hillary Clinton as our nominee. That is also an unforced error. Her whole frickin' career is an unforced error. Not being on board for gay marriage until 2 minutes ago. That's also an unforced error. That what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, so there's this deep-seated hypocrisy that's very frustrating because these are the same people who said that any criticism of Hillary is sexist and wrong and we're crazy. And, you know, what Joan is saying right now is along the same lines as what Susan Sarandon said.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, that Hillary is surrounding herself with basically, you know, the most hawkish elements of our government. Sorry.
So no, it's all right. There's a little bit more to this, and then we're gonna go to members only as soon as we're done with this video, okay?
I think there's a deeper question, right? I mean, which is that the sort of what the foreign policy direction of this all look like. I mean,
right.
When you look at domestic policy, those stakes are so nailed in the ground in some ways, right?
Yes.
I mean, like just the composition of what Congress will be, the Senate, the House, the platform, the promises, the constituency groups,
right.
All that stuff is sort of there holding it together, right?
And
she can't suddenly be like, I'm going to build a wall.
And it's what she believes. It's what I believe she believes. So it's
right.
not a stretch for her.
But foreign policy Russia invades Ukraine tomorrow, you know, on day one of the presidency.
Right.
That's when the president is at its most powerful, and who knows?
So I don't know if you realize what Chris Hayes just said. He just said, you know, when it comes to domestic policy, there's so many entrenched groups. It's hard to move things. It's hard to make things happen domestically. But foreign policy, Hillary Clinton has carte blanche to do whatever she wants. And if Russia invades the Ukraine, did you see him? He goes, yes. That's what we've been saying. That's what half the Democratic Party has been screaming at the top of their lungs since last summer. And you know what you guys did? Blah, 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 sexist, misogynist, blah, blah, blah. She's great, blah, blah. Bernie's in fire in the sky, blah, blah, blah. Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. All that BS. And by the way, you also, all through the primary, was like, oh, no, she's been tested. 30 years, they've been coming at her. Bernie's the one, as soon as they call him a socialist, he's going to crumble. And here they are now going, oh, my God, she's so horrible. She could start World War III. We don't, what the hell's going wrong? She's listening to guys like John Negroponte, guys who set up death squads in South America. This is who she's hanging out with. It gets better.
No, hold on. I'm holding. Hold on. Before we go there, not only is she hanging out with Negroponte, not only is she hanging out with Henry Kissinger, but she brags about it. It is a point of great pride for her that she has endorsements of these people because, like, Negroponte and Kissinger are not names that you want to toss out necessarily to get the average voter to vote for you. So she's doing this on purpose.
I mean, yes.
This is a calculated move on the part of Hillary Clinton and her team. They want to send a message to, basically to the right, I'm with you guys.
Yes.
I'm with you guys. You can trust me. I will keep the war machine going. It's never going to stop. Not on my watch, it's not, because I follow the leadership of Negroponte and Kissinger. So that's what you have, and that's the reason why we progressives like us are so upset by it. And let me just say one more thing. The reason why I've become more anti-Hillary over the last 6 months than I was before is actually because of Hillary supporters.
Yes.
Okay? It's not even because of Hillary Clinton, because I know where she stands.
Right.
She stands wherever the money is.
Yes. Okay?
She stands wherever the power is. But it's the failure and the inability of Hillary Clinton supporters to call her out on anything.
Anything.
On anything that makes me worry about her becoming our president, because
they'll let her be horrible.
Right. Because whether it's Glass-Steagall, okay? Glass-Steagall, which has been basically the bastion of our economic and banking regulatory mechanism, has been destroyed. And Hillary Clinton saying, I mean, her defense of not bringing back Glass-Steagall is absurd.
It's laughable.
It's ridiculous to say, no, we don't need it.
Yeah.
Look, who in this country thinks that we have too much oversight of the big banks, okay? Other than the big banks.
Right.
So we have Dodd-Frank, and we should also have Glass-Steagall. The fact that we can't get Glass-Steagall on board is crazy. Sorry. My mom is calling me. Why is she calling me? I'm turning my phone off.
I don't know.
Off.
I love your mom.
Yeah. And then not only Glass-Steagall, but also Citizens United, as we talked about last week. So when Hillary says, corruption, what corruption? I take all this money. I'm not corrupt. Point to one example of me doing a quid pro quo corruption. These same so-called Democrats who would decry the Koch brothers and everyone else say, exactly, what corruption? There's no corruption. So it's Hillary Clinton's supporters that scare me more than anyone else, more than even Hillary, because they are willing to accept whatever she says and whatever she does because she's on our side.
Yep.
And that is, to me, the heart of authoritarianism.
Yes.
Right? When you blindly support whoever your teammate is, okay? And as progressive and as critical thinkers, we should call out everyone. And Jimmy, I'm very happy and proud that you call out even Bernie Sanders, right? So Bernie's not a perfect human being. So when he does something that we disagree with, I want to call him out. I want to hold him to the fire and say, Bernie, that is not the right way. You should go in this direction. And Clinton supporters are either too cowardly, too stupid, or too craven to do that. And that's what scares me. That's the reason why I want to do this show.
That I'm 100% with you on that. We gotta wrap up the free part of this, but not until I play this last part.
Your instincts are more on the you know go to war
interventionist spectrum.
That guy just said her instincts are more to, he wanted to say warmonger, but he didn't want to say that. So he goes, to go to war. He was stumbling. Chris Hayes tried to help him by, did you hear what he said? He goes, interventionist. You know, he wanted to throw an Orwellian term into there to soften it up, what Hillary really is, which is a war hawk, a warmonger, which is what she is. And Chris goes, interventionist. It's not interventionist. She's a warmonger. That's what interventionists. Oh, what happened to your leg? I got intervened by a bomb. Here we go.
I hope I'm not going to sound sexist when I say this.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, it's always a good way to start. Keep going. Please continue.
As the first woman president, you know, will she be under pressure, either self-imposed or from
it's
outside?
A fair question.
You know, to be more.
Yes,
to be more
self-imposed, particularly, I think, is in some ways the most important in that way, right? Like the conception of, and clearly it was something they thought about a lot in
2008.
In 2008.
I mean, that's why she didn't. Why she never apologized for her Iraq vote in 2008.
The shoe that I'm really don't want to drop is the Kissinger endorsement, which they keep, everyone keeps floating. And I mean, again, I'm not going to say, it's, you know, it's almost midnight. I will not go through the Kissinger record, but again, you could read a bunch about.
Go to my website.
And, just odious and horrible. And again, it's just, well, you know, the Kissinger thing says to me also, we keep talking about, like, well, who's going to be held responsible? And people, what are people's reputations going to be after the Trump thing?
Right.
And it's like, well, wait a second. Yeah. Henry Kissinger, if he's going to be welcome in open arms and like, hey, we got the Kissinger, what that says is no one will be accountable. Right. Won't be accountable for Trump or the people that backed him or the people that went along with all his odious things. Because if in the same cycle, we're saying, yeah.
Hillary Clinton is arguably a Democratic Richard Nixon.
Two quick things. That guy just said she's the Democratic Richard Nixon. And Joan Walsh doesn't say a goddamn thing, and neither does Chris Hayes. Chris Hayes, who wagged his finger and called Susan Sarandon nuts for not wanting to vote for Hillary Clinton, just let somebody on his own show refer to her as the Democratic Richard Nixon, and they're like, yeah, that's about right. But we're supposed to vote for her? And you're not pulling your hair out when Susan Sarandon was on your show. Why weren't you also doing cartwheels going, yes, I know, this is unbelievable. What can we do? What do we do to fix this? How do we get left with Hillary frickin' Clinton? How does this happen? Somebody we rejected 8 years ago is now getting rammed down. He didn't do that. He said, you're crazy. You're nuts. And now they're all sitting around going, oh, yeah, she's the Democratic Richard Nixon. Oh, and she's hanging out with Henry Kissinger. It's horrible. She's horrible. It's all odious. He said odious. Joan Walsh says, go to my website. You can read all about Henry Kissinger. Oh, so now you sons of bitches are okay with criticizing and calling out warmongers. All of a sudden, when it's guaranteed she's the nominee and she's going to be the next president, now we can talk freely. Now we're not sexist because you're doing it. Now because you're doing it, it's okay. I'm so glad that you finally got your head out of your collective asses and realized that Hillary Clinton is horrible. Hey, welcome back to the Aggressive Progressive. I'm your host, Jimmy Dore, along with Steve O. Hi, Steve. How are you? Okay. I'm hosting. He doesn't like my hosting capabilities, but we're doing it. So we got a lot of great... It doesn't matter. People like us. It doesn't matter.
No. The commentary is very good. The organization and structure could be better.
I've lived my whole life like this. All right, so... Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I know Steve and I are both sick and tired of people saying, oh, you're voting for Jill Stein. It's white privilege. Oh, you're so selfish. You're so self-centered. Why don't you grow up? Why don't you bite the bullet? Right?
They tell us that, yeah.
Yeah. And it's considered this white privilege lily. Oh, you don't have any problems in your
white
life.
Heterosexual male privilege.
That's right. White, straight white male privilege. Yeah. Right? Well, guess what? There's a website called 34 Justice, and they say that privilege, many Jill Stein voters have it, and many Hillary Clinton voters do, too. So they did it. This is by Ben Spielberg, which is Stephen's cousin. And so I've got some quotes from this article. This is pretty interesting stuff because everybody says, oh, it's all white, even though Steve's Asian. Even though Nina Turner, how about
Rosario Dawson?
Yes. How about Cornel West?
we should be teammates on some game show where you describe something and I guess what it is. Yeah.
Little Chocolate Babies, Rita Moreno. Yes.
No, you literally did this, and I said Cornel West. Nailed it, right?
Okay. So let's look at, I hope I put this together correctly. Let's go through some of the stuff. Because what you're always told is like, these are the kind of articles you see. Why this black Bernie Sanders delegate says he doesn't have the luxury of going Bernie or bust, right? That's the kind of articles that lefty news organizations have been writing. And that means they're not really left anymore, that they're in bed with power, and that they're embracing corporatism. That's what that says to me. And it's happened. It's not just Fox. It's almost every left-wing online news. It's weird to see it happen. And that's why we're doing the show, because that's even happening to the left. The left is getting corrupt. So here's what this article says. They say the status quo is serving many people poorly. Proclaiming that because the alternative is worse Everyone must vote for Clinton, a politician who has championed policies that have actively harmed millions of people both here and around the world, is at its very best patronizing to those who are currently suffering. It's a promise of crumbs instead of a meal, with the admonition that starving people better be thankful for crumbs, as the other candidate might even take those away. This rationale plays on the fears of disadvantaged people and those who care about them in order to perpetuate current power dynamics. Its use is in many ways an expression of the very privilege it critiques. I'm going to read this again because this is really important. This rationale plays on the fears of disadvantaged people and those who care about them in order to perpetuate the current power dynamics. Its use is in many ways an expression of the very privilege it critiques. Okay, Steve, before I get to the graph that shows you the breakdown of the demographics for Jill, that is exactly what I've been saying, that it's exactly the opposite. Because when I was in Philadelphia and when I go out and I meet people at Jill Stein events or Bernie events and they say they'll never vote for Hillary, most of the time, they're not rich people. Most of the time, they're poor or they're students or they're of ethnicity or they're women. So,
yeah, I can't emphasize enough how much I love this article. And when you get to the graph a little bit later that shows the composition of the Jill Stein voters versus the Hillary Clinton supporters, you can see that the difference is not what you would think it is. So the Jill Stein voters are not a bunch of privileged white males who have a lot of money. And, you know, honestly, I actually bought into that narrative. Like, I felt that I was, basically using my privilege, although I'm not white, I have some money. I married well. I have access to some power and all that kind of stuff. So I can withstand a Trump presidency. So I felt that maybe I'm the very person that these articles would criticize. So I bought into it. But this article that you brought up, it makes such excellent points. And, you know, just giving it some thought, it makes all the sense in the world. Because who benefits from the current power dynamic? Who benefits from the status quo? Rich people.
Right.
People who have privilege.
Right.
Right? So those who don't have that privilege are the ones who need change more than anyone else. So those who have a lot of money, who can always use bigger tax breaks because they can pay for private school, they can pay for personal security guards, they can pay for a gated community, they can pay for whatever they need to get by in an increasingly difficult world with less and less social safety nets. They don't need change.
Right.
Things are good the way they are.
So the irony is, mm-hmm. it's I have often said that very often, what is accepted to be a truism is exactly the opposite is true. Like, you know, they say, oh, well, God created man in his own likeness and image. The exact opposite happened, that human beings created God in their own likeness and image. And it's the same, it's very similar what's happening here. The exact opposite is true. When they're saying, oh, you're voting for, you won't support Hillary Clinton because you're white privileged. No, I'm doing that because I care about people who aren't white and privileged. Because I care about brown people being killed all around the world, not just here at home. Because I care about students. Because I care about Mexicans. Right now, if you listen to Fusion's reporting, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are deporting Hispanics at record numbers. They're doing what Trump only promises to do. All right, yeah, so here's the breakdown. Go ahead.
Yes, before we even get to the breakdown, I want to expound on that a bit more. So, it was a Democratic president who got rid of Glass-Steagall.
Yes, it takes a Democrat.
It was a Democratic president who ushered in an era of mass incarceration and private prisons. It was a Democratic president.
Wow, this is amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a Democratic president who wanted to cut Social Security and Medicare.
That was Barack Obama.
That's right. It's a Democratic president that... if it's Hillary Clinton, that's going to usher in this new era of where Democrats will embrace the rationale behind Citizens United.
Yes.
Okay. It is a Democratic president who has escalated drone strikes. It's a Democratic president who's embracing
fracking
mass surveillance.
The surveillance state? Yeah. Democratic president.
So
the foreign policy right now is a continuation of Bush's policy.
Right.
We left Iraq on Bush's timetable, and guess what? We're back in.
Yeah.
And we ramped up the war in Afghanistan, and we bombed 8 different Muslim countries since 9/11. And Barack, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not very persuaded by the argument, oh my God, but Trump. Or, oh my God, but the Republicans.
Right.
Oh my God, the Supreme Court. Okay, I'm not persuaded by any of these arguments because, we have to fight. It doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or a Republican. Progressives have to fight because we're the only ones who are fighting for the average American, for the ordinary American. And, it is racist to stand, during a speech, point to the one black guy in your audience and say, that's my African American.
Yeah,
I agree. That's racist. It's also racist to call a group of people super predators.
Yes, kids.
It's also racist to embrace a policy that throws 2.2 million people in prison, most of them for nonviolent crimes, and to decimate an entire generation of the black community where they, where fathers are basically—
are removed from the community. And then when they're let back out, now they have a felony conviction, so they can't get jobs, and also they can't vote.
Yeah, so what happened under a Democratic president regime, call it a regime, is that it ushered in the mass incarceration and it allowed for the decimation of a community and it allowed for, the police brutality to continue or perhaps even grow.
Oh, it increased.
You know?
Here's the thing. You know how they said only Nixon could have gone to China? Now, so the reason why that is because Republicans and Nixon, they were seen as such hard red baiters, right? They were seen as, they hate communism. These are hardliners. They're not soft. So if they go and do a deal, you can trust their deal because they're tough on communism. But if a Democrat did it, these guys are wishy-washy. They like communism. You can't trust. So that's why they say it took a Republican to open China up, right, to the West.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a Democrat to cut Social Security because if a Republican proposes it, everybody gets all the Democrats coalesce against it. But when Bill Clinton proposes, deregulating Wall Street, then half the Democrats are like, hey, maybe it's a good thing. All the Republicans are for it. Half the Democrats are for it. You got a supermajority there.
It's a Democratic president who's going to usher in TPP.
And it's a Democratic president right now pushing for the TPP.
Yeah.
Right now. Full-throated, pushing for the TPP way harder than he ever pushed for the public option.
And it's a Democratic president who brought us NAFTA.
This is what I'm saying. I can't keep voting for this, right? So at some point, this is going on 20 frickin' years, over. Bill Clinton was president in 1992. So this has been over 20 years of this neocon government, right? And at some point, we got to break the fever. And voting for the lesser of two evil is still voting for evil. And it perpetuates. Hillary Clinton does not, and by the way, she is not going to flip the Senate to Democrat because she doesn't want to. And we got a big story about that coming up next week. An amazing story about Hillary Clinton and her love of the Republican Congress. That's coming up. But right now, I'm going to show you the breakdown of the demographics for Jill Stein. So if you can see, it says, here's the estimated voter. It's tough to get information on Jill Stein voters, right? But here's the best we can get. So if you see in the blue, that's Hillary Clinton supporters. The green are Jill Stein supporters. And the gray is all registered voters. So women, Hillary is edging out Jill by 2 percentage points, right? So 56% of her supporters are women, whereas 55% of Jill supporters are women.
Just real quick, that's a difference of 1, not 2.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1%.
Yeah, that's. I'm a math genius.
I'm not good. I'm not a math surgeon. I got through college without taking a math class. I actually got my degree. I did it. And so let's go back to this. Now, if you look middle-aged or younger, Jill's killing it with the middle-aged or young. So Hillary's got mostly older voters, whereas Jill's got the younger or middle-aged people, 70%, right, to Hillary's 42. Now, people of color. Now, sure, yes, Hillary has more people of color, but Jill Stein has more than the representation in the country. She has 32% people of color. That's pretty good.
Right.
Now, income under $50,000, Jill Stein does much better. So they're not privileged. Actually, 58% of the people supporting her make less than $50,000, whereas only 52% of the people supporting Hillary make less than $50,000. So Jill has a higher representation of people under $50,000. So that's not privileged. And then no college degree, way more people with no college degree are supporting Jill Stein.
They would argue that that's because they're low information voters.
Yes.
Too stupid, and therefore they vote for Jill Stein.
So there you go. So all that stuff about you're white, you're privileged, it just goes to show you non-college-aged people, non-college-educated people, women, and people of color, 30-some percent for Jill Stein. So that idea that it's all white privileged guy, it's all bullshit. Go ahead.
It's bullshit. And the people of color, that difference, I think, is accounted for by the fact that the Clintons have done a very good job of marketing themselves.
Marketing.
To the black community.
Yes.
So, you know, when Bill Clinton, I mean, I think they are, especially Bill, is genuinely at ease with the black community. He doesn't freak out when he's around a bunch of black people the way our other presidents before may have.
Right. Or
even if they don't freak out, they might just be uncomfortable. But I think Bill is genuinely comfortable hanging out with them, you know, eating with them, playing the saxophone with them. Like he's good. So the black community sees a very high-ranking white politician, you know, in a rare showing of feeling total comfort with them. So yeah, they've done a great job marketing. Have they served the black community well?
No.
That's really
mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Right? That's what's mind-blowing. They gutted welfare. They ramped up the prison industry. They criminalized, they put more blacks in prison. They did the super predator thing. It's weird. So again, it's the opposite. It's the what you've come to know, right? The accepted truism is that, oh, the Clintons are good for black people. Except it's the opposite. They're horrible for black people. That's the weird thing. All right, so here's a little bit more of this article.
I think they're very good for privileged, powerful black people.
Yes. Yeah, anybody who's privileged or got money. So here, let's go to this. So this is... when we in the Green Party, here's the national co-chair, when we in the Green Party hear about spoiler candidates, it usually comes from people who believe that the Democratic Party is entitled to votes without actually doing the work of the people, especially people of color like me, the LGBTQ, well, that's a lot of letters.
A lot of letters.
Community and students and others. We are expected to faithfully fall in line without any perceivable return on investment. Those of us who live outside of privileged circles know that voting for either lobe of the corporate party brings us more of the same. Massive student debt, low-paying jobs, more deportations, more wars for oil, more destruction of the environment, more police militarization, and even more waffling over the safety and security of the LGBTQ community on the job or at home, or most notably, the safety of transgender youth or of color anywhere.
She nailed it. That's exactly right.
She nailed it. So yeah. She's saying that, oh, you think that we owe you your vote? We don't, this is what I've been saying. We don't owe our vote to Hillary Clinton because of Trump or anything else. You want our vote? You have to come get our vote. And how do you come get our vote? With policies that help these people, with policies that promise no more wars for oil, that help student debt, that help get better paying jobs, that stop the mass deportations, that stop the militarization of the police departments, that stops the destruction of our environment. Hillary will not commit to destroying our environment. She's destroying it. She's fracking 100% for it. So that's why you don't owe your vote to them. You can't do that. People know that it's more of the same. And the people who can't afford more of the same, guess who they are? They're the people who aren't privileged. Those are the people. Did you see all of that in that stat, in that graph, all the people who are non-college educated voting for Jill Stein? That goes against their whole narrative. Their whole narrative is that's this lily white college educated guys who have everything easy in life. They're the ones with the privilege. But if you were black or Hispanic or poor or a minimum wage worker, you wouldn't vote for Jill Stein. Just the fucking opposite.
And the other argument that they make that drives me crazy is this whole argument that we are somehow immature or naive or stupid for not voting for Hillary. And they, you know, they keep saying, grow up. And, you know, my response is, no, you grow up.
You grow okay? up.
And it sounds childish, but they're the ones who are childlike.
Because they don't have the courage to stand up to the people who are screwing them.
That's right. Because grown-up, you know, here's what grown-ups do. Grown-ups are not married to any particular party or ideology. They take issue by issue, and where criticism should be levied, you criticize. So, you know, here at TYT, I would never tell everyone at TYT, oh, you're part of TYT, so everything you do is perfect. I'm not going to ever criticize you. No, I'm going to criticize you so that you become better, right? With my children, I criticize them so they become better. So these Hillary supporters who are telling us—
constructive criticism.
Of course, right? But you have to call it out. They love their candidate the way children love their mommies and daddies.
They're being like right wingers.
Yeah, mommy is perfect, and don't you ever criticize her, because if you criticize her, you're a bad man, right? And whereas grown ups say, you know what? My mom called earlier in the show, right? Because she's clueless. I told her not to call this time, but she did anyway because she gets the Pacific time and the Eastern
yes,
time.
Yes, yeah. I know.
But I love my mom. But I see her for all her flaws. I love her anyway. And you know what I do sometimes? I criticize her and help her try to get better. So as liberals, as progressives, it is our duty to criticize, especially politicians who purport to represent us, okay? So I have less interest in criticizing the Republicans because they don't represent me.
No.
They're not supposed to represent me.
No, and they're supposed to be repulsed by me.
Yeah, but people who purport to represent me, I'm gonna criticize them more. Because they're accountable to me.
Right.
Because I support them and they're supposed to represent me.
Yes.
This is why I don't criticize random countries in South America or Africa or Europe. I criticize the U.S. You know why? Because I live in the U.S.
Yes.
Because the U.S. matters to me.
All right, let me finish this segment and then we're going to have to wrap it up. The show's getting away from us already. The show's almost over. Can you believe that? We only did two stories? What the fuck? All right. So we got to stop talking. We talk too much. We got to do two shows. We got to have another show.
We have too many insightful
We have too
comments.
Much stuff to talk about. You should come to my house. I have a studio. You should come over. We can talk all night.
All right.
If you want more of this, jimmydorecomedy.com. All right. So here, let me go back to this. Stein's share of voters of color is similar to the share in the general population of registered voters. Stein voters are not disproportionately white. Looking at the total population that won't vote for Clinton, listen to this, which is a larger universe than the set of registered voters who support Stein, provides an even more striking rebuttal to those who oppose Clinton, our white male Bernie bros narrative. Listen to this. Reuters data actually suggests, get this, over 40% of people of color do not plan to vote for Clinton in 2016. In fact, neither do over 45% of the LGBTQ community, nor the majority of women. Marginalized religious folk and people making less than $50,000 a year. Pundits and partisans would do well to spend less time alleging that third-party voters don't care about the disadvantaged, and more time reflecting on why large numbers of people are much more worried than they are about the status quo. So that's amazing that 40% of people of color, 45% of women aren't going to of LGBTQ, and the majority of women aren't voting for Hillary Clinton. Maybe they're sexist.
Maybe they're privileged.
I think they're all privileged sexist. Besides, if you're a woman voting for Jill Stein, you've got to be a sexist. What the F? The majority of women, think about that, Steve. The majority of women are not supporting the first one. But by the way, 40% of people of color. So all those people who look down their nose at people like me and try to say that we're just kind of idiots and pie in the sky and selfish and self-centered and we need to grow up, I have a message for you. This has been The Aggressive Progressive. I'm your host, Jimmy Dore. I'm along with Steve-O. Steve, did you have a good time?
I had a good time. I wish we had more time.
I wish we had more time.
I had a good time.
I have so much more show. I spent like four hours today putting together this goddamn show, and I'm not even going to get to half of it.
You know what we should do at this time? We should thank the crew that makes this possible.
Let's make this, yes.
Yeah, so Edwin, Bart.
Edwin Umanya. Bart, I don't know, Bart, what is his last name?
Kyle.
Bart Kyle.
He's a nice Irish boy.
He's a nice Irish boy, Bart mm-hmm. Kyle. He's an encyclopedic knowledge of classic rock and roll, Bart has.
Amazing
knowledge.
And then we have Ja'Cory Palmer.
Ja'Cory doing a great job. Also, Ja'Cory hilarious. They make the very funny videos.
Ja'Cory also has a very special talent. He's like a fruit artist.
Oh my God, I know.
He could take any fruit and just like chop it up and make it into like any animal. He's like a weird genius about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to say, you've told me about it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome.
Also, and Tim Collins, of course, the executive producer.
And Gigi.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Gigi.
Yeah, Gigi's right there.
Oh, hi, Gigi.
Gigi's in charge of our member content.
I didn't know Gigi was working on our show.
Yeah, and the main guy in charge of all of this is Tim Collins. So thanks to Tim Collins.
Thanks to Tim Collins and everybody for putting in the work on the show. I love doing the show. Yay! I love doing the aggressive progressive. Maybe we'll be doing two shows a week.
And guys, bear with us. We're still working at the kinks, figuring out how to transition from story to story. We're not experts, but we're full of good ideas and good insights, I hope.
Okay. And we'll see you later on the Young Turks, and check out the Jimmy Dore Show on YouTube. Okay, bye, everybody.
Thank you.